Are you a questioner, a wanderer, or even a bit of a snooper? If so, then you'll feel right at home in Knoxville. We've got miles of trails to wander in our urban wilderness, award-winning eateries to satisfy your culinary cravings, cultural sites to open your mind, and dog-friendly activities that'll have everyone wagging. Knoxville, calling the curious. Learn more at visitknoxville.com.
Welcome back to Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
All right, the Astros back in action today after the All-Star break. A lot of teams got 5 days, some got four. The Astros only got 3 days off and a doubleheader against the team with the best record in baseball, the Yankees. So MLB not taking it easy on the Astros. They play just after noon today, game one, and then 5:40 is the second game. You got Christian Javier and Luis Garcia on the mound, respectfully, for those two teams. Respectively, not respectfully, what? All right, so Dusty Baker just let the media know that Yordan Alvarez will officially DH in game two.
Hell yeah.
James Click had said on the Astros flagship that most likely Yordan would be back, but now we know that is really, really good news, guys.
Oh, I wish he was there for both. I understand, though, it's a doubleheader, and you got to be careful. It's annoying that they scheduled this as a doubleheader. I am excited about the fact that there are two Astros-Yankee games on the same day, but as far as making projections for the playoffs based on this game because of some of the injury issues that the Astros are dealing with and the fact that it's a doubleheader and it's just weird, I'm curious as to how I'm going to be feeling, let's just say this, 24 hours from now. But it's great to hear that Alvarez is back in the lineup.
Ryan Pressly will not be at Minute Maid Park today. His wife is having their second child. Dusty Baker says he will be placed on the paternity list, and that means Parker Mashinsky will be activated off the IL.
Well, you're just looking at me. What, am I supposed to have a hot take here?
Ryan Pressly on paternity leave. How do we feel about that?
Okay. Don't get mad at me. Please don't get mad at me.
Oh, no.
I'm just going to ask a question.
Just ask it.
Say you work in a profession where you have, I don't know, 3, 4, 5 months completely off from work. And you're in a committed relationship with somebody.
A marriage.
You're not Elon Musk or Nick Cannon and you're just trying to make as many babies as possible. It could be a marriage. It could be just two people that happen to be together and their partners. Or it could be two people that are like, hey, let's have a kid. Forget all that that long-term commitment stuff. I'm just saying, if you're somebody that plays a professional sport, shouldn't you be available for your team at all times? And isn't one way to be available for your team at all times by planning ahead? And if you're going to have a kid, make that decision to try to have the kid during, I don't know, the off-season. I say this for football, I say this for baseball, basketball, and I get it, it's controversial to some people. Maybe some people are like, no, that's the magic, you don't want to plan it, but I don't know. You're getting paid to play a sport, and I'm all for being there for your kid. That is much more important than playing said sport, but at the same time, I feel like you can plan ahead, and I don't know. As someone who's a little bit OCD, a little bit type A, I feel like in their shoes, if I was trying to make something like that happen, I would plan ahead.
I think it depends on the sport and the time of year. If you're an NFL player and if your child is being born and your wife is in labor, I get it. Miss the game that day if it's on a Sunday. After the baby comes out and if you have an important game especially, your team should send a private jet and you should play in that NFL game because there's only so many NFL games and everyone counts. I'm sorry. I think it depends on the sport. This is just my opinion. Baseball, I think, is a little bit different because there's multiple games.
There's
now,
a million games, right? It's not a big deal by any means.
No, but whenever I hear of an NFL player who makes a lot of money per game, missing like 2 days after the kid is born, I don't understand that.
The one that really makes me say really is when it. Okay, how about this? Forget the fact that, okay, maybe you're going to miss out on a regular season game because of the birth of your kid, and then you take paternity leave or something like that. And maybe you have a boss or a team that you work for that's great with this. But I feel like we shouldn't make the comparisons between sports, professional sports, and the workplace, because
it's not the same.
Right. Again, yeah. you have 3 to 4 month off seasons. So forget what I said originally. How about just plan so that, say, the sport that you play in during the postseason of said a sport that you play in, how about just try to not be having a kid then? So that means that you could shoot for what? 10 to 11 months across the calendar year to have a kid?
Just wrap it up during the that 1 month, right?
I mean, yeah.
Do the math, people. Sean, do you have any thoughts?
So you're saying Van Jefferson last year was cutting a little bit close on the Rams?
That's right. I forgot about that.
Yeah. A little bit.
Cutting a little bit.
A little bit.
His kid being born hours after the Super Bowl.
And look, I get that there's a lot of religious concerns on the side of it. And I'm not trying to besmirch any of those things. My question is, though, I mean, like, why not plan ahead? Especially if you play a sport where you have plenty of downtime. You do. You have plenty of downtime to do this exact same thing. I know that if I were having a kid and if I played a professional sport, I would want to have as much time with that kid as I possibly could in the early days, and that I would probably want to make sure that that happens during the off season, so I'm not stressed thinking about missing work at the same time as being stressed raising a kid.
If you're a professional athlete, something tells me you wouldn't be in a committed relationship.
Whoa.
Wow. That's an excellent point by Sean.
Really?
Hayes.
Just when you start this conversation.
Am I that much of a dog?
You got that dog.
Damn.
Imagine how much easier it would be for you to be a dog.
Right, that's the problem.
You don't even have to try that hard to
Every
be a dog.
Every time you leave a game, you have women waiting for you.
Call
you the
me
DMs.
A dog, and that's fair enough. Well, I don't really know how to come back.
Juan Soto, am I right?
You guys kind of hurt my feelings.
I think it's great. I think you'd be a player. I think you'd have many children being
what,
born.
What if I don't want to be a player?
You'd be
what?
An icon.
I'm looking for love, maybe
You're
in all the wrong places.
You are not looking for love.
This is so mean.
Hold on. We're going off of what you've said, which is once you get someone, you now want someone else.
Right, but at some point
that
that's
was
probably
like
not going to happen.
Yeah,
it's like.
Yeah, I'm like JD in Scrubs when he gets Elliot. Finally, he's like, I don't want it anymore. Guess
right.
what? He still ends up with Elliot in the end, and they're happy.
So in the end,
fictional TV show.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
Team of writers came up with that.
Shut up. Some would say that show is as close to real life in the medical industry as any show.
Not
but they don't
Grey's
say
Anatomy.
It's real life to like romance.
Right. So are you looking for love or not? Are you looking for love?
I really don't. The first time I've ever not known what to say right now. Like, you didn't ask a question.
You didn't think this Ryan Pressly missing two games against the Yankees were going to turn into a therapy session.
Hey, is it two big games against the Yankees?
Two massive games. Are they still seven-inning doubles? No, they're nine-inning doubles.
They're nine-inning doubles.
So Juan Soto said no, and will no longer be with the Washington Nationals is what it seems like. They were so petty, in fact, that they refused to fly him on the private jet to the All-Star game. So that relationship seems to be ending. Should the Astros pursue Juan Soto?
I mean, I sort of discussed this on Sports Map with Brandon Strange. You can check that video out on the YouTube page for Sports Map. The big conversation that we had coming out of it was, is there ever going to be a point where the Astros should abandon their process and push all their chips into the middle of the table? Do you think that might happen in the next couple of years? If you do, then, I mean, that would make sense to go in right now for Juan Soto. Also, Soto being as young as he is, which I know was constantly laughed at during the World Series in 2019, right? Where they're like, Soto, did you know he's only 20 years
right,
old?
Right.
Juan Soto, just 20. Juan Soto. So with that in mind, if you were to give him a bazillion dollars like he is asking for, then, I mean, you should get him playing at a very high level for the next, at the very least, 8 years, if not longer. Assuming he doesn't all of a sudden, you know, fall off a cliff, decide to, you know, do interesting things during the off season, perhaps take things a little bit less seriously. It would be very hard to stay, I think, 100% focused if you make that much money. There will come a point where I imagine the Astros are on the verge of not having the ability to restock the way that they have of late. And I do think that the Astros deserve a lot of credit for sticking to their process, but the idea of Soto, Vanessa, is something that just makes me think about that near future. I think, though, as far as Soto, I don't think you have enough to get him. You know, I'm not sure that you have the farm system.
You
that...
You have to give up the whole farm.
Right, and I just don't think you have the whole farm. Like, Washington, if they're giving up a guy like this at age 22, they need to have something that's going to make the Nationals again.
Would Sean? Would you see... And I'm not saying you do that. I'm saying this is just a call, a meeting you have to make if you're the Astros front office. Do you put maybe Kyle Tucker into a Soto deal to lessen the prospect load that you have to take?
I don't think Tucker's enough. I mean, if you're the Nationals, it wasn't that long ago that you playing poorly netted you both Bryce Harper, who for a time was like the hot thing in baseball, and Steven Strasburg, who has had injury issues, of course, but who also, same thing, like... They nailed it with two different guys. And, of course, eventually they end up with Soto, too. No, I don't think Tucker's enough. And I don't know who else you could really point to.
Yeah, Tucker and the prospects.
But I don't know if any of the prospects are really like, whoa, you know? Like, what, Hunter Brown? Or Forrest Whitley, which people like keep on trying to make a thing, even though like that's
clearly
never happening.
People do try to make him a thing. I've noticed that,
yeah,
too.
I don't get
people
that.
Are trying to make Forrest Whitley a thing.
What, I mean, I don't know. I'm kind of like where I was with John Singleton with Forrest Whitley. Like, he's kind of been, he's made a bunch of mistakes. And I'm not exactly trusting the guy.
Not sold. All right, coming up on Vanessa and Gallant, we got a myriad of different subjects from Brittany Griner to J.J. Watt, Russell Westbrook. Plus, you can win some tickets. Stay tuned. That's next.
ESPN 97.5. Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
I can't fight this feeling any longer.
Great song. Yet I'm still afraid to let it flow. Wait, you don't really know the words? I know the words.
What started out as friendship has grown stronger. I only wish I had the strength to let it show.
I tell myself
that I can't hold out forever.
I just want to get to the middle.
Guys, I can't fight this feeling anymore.
You sound just like him. This weekend, two rock legends under one roof, REO Speedwagon and Styx, are coming to Houston for their 2022 tour. So call us. 713-780-3776. Caller number three. You win a pair of tickets to see the bands perform at Cynthia Woods Mitchell Pavilion.
713-780-ESPN.
And that is, again, this Sunday, the 24th, July 24th. Tickets are on now at LiveNation.com. That's LiveNation.com. Turn it up, Sean.
And I can't fight this feeling anymore.
Great jam.
It is.
Steve Keim and the Arizona Cardinals could not fight the feeling that Kyler Murray needed to be their quarterback. That, ladies and gentlemen, is what we call a transition.
Wow.
Per Ian Rappaport, the Arizona Cardinals and two-time Pro Bowl quarterback Kyler Murray are working to close a monster extension that will make Murray one of the highest paid players in the NFL. Sources tell him and Tom Pelissero.
How did Steve Keim get an extension?
That's a great question.
This is stupid on their part. If they're going to actually go through with this, at the beginning of the offseason, they were talking about his maturity issues and about how he didn't act like a leader with the Rams. And now, because he does a couple of stupid like takedowns of Instagram posts, all of a sudden they're like, oh, well, we got to reward him. I don't get what the Cardinals have done this offseason. They extended Cliff Kingsbury, they extended their general manager, Steve Keim, and now they're going to extend Kyler Murray after an incredibly disappointing finish to a season where at one point they were the definitive number one in the NFL power rankings. They were the last team undefeated. I don't get this.
They were like 7-0.
Yeah, I don't get this. This is malpractice. It really is, if they're going to actually give him that contract. What has Kyler Murray shown from a leadership standpoint to make you trust him long-term? If you feel like the guy was checked out during a game where they got their asses kicked by the Rams, when's that going to happen again? I don't get this at all. I really don't. And the Cardinals as an organization, they have not had nearly enough shade, guff, whatever, thrown their way for the way that they have been operating. And if they give Kyler Murray an extension, it's just another move that is puzzling at best.
I've questioned Kyler Murray. I've definitely publicly questioned Cliff Kingsbury. I don't understand, A, how he got that job. I don't understand, B, how he's kept it with some of the disappointing seasons that they've had. But that is the latest. All right, you had a bone to pick with Russell Westbrook.
Yeah, I saw this post. And look, it's just more of the same from Russell Westbrook, who continues to be la-la-la-la-la sticking his hands in his ears as everyone tells him, hey, man, you're 34 and you're not that good. There was a report coming from a guy who works at The Athletic about where Russell Westbrook stands these days. It was Jovan Buha. It's one thing to publicly not acknowledge it, said Buha. But clearly behind the scenes, Russell Westbrook isn't realizing if anyone trades for you, it's for your contract and then wanting to get off of money and get an asset from the Lakers. It is not because they want you to be the face of the franchise. They want you to be the starting point guard. Like any team that takes him on is facilitating clearing their cap sheet. So yeah, right. Anyone that brings in Russell Westbrook is trying to basically press the reset button. And Westbrook this offseason, I mean, he's been threatening, Skip Bayless for calling him out, rightfully so, for what has been pretty bad play over the last calendar year. He's saying that my family they're hurt, their feelings are hurt when little Johnny at school gets called Westbrook. He's so out of touch, he's so delusional. At what point, when you are a star whose shine is fading, are you supposed to, I don't know, get with reality? Because it's been a couple of years for Russell Westbrook now, and he's still pretty damn delusional.
But don't forget, according to his singing Beyonce, you will not break his soul.
Wait, did he tweet that or something?
Yeah, you won't break my soul.
Oh, did he sing it?
He sang it. He did. He was singing along to Beyonce. Did you saw this, Sean Mapes, right?
I didn't see
it. Yeah, I think we played it. It might have been a day you were out.
Oh, I was with it was with Josh Beard.
You're really
you were drunk in Cuba or whatever.
Whoa, Cuba? I would never go to a communist country. Puerto Rico, thank you.
All right, so Brittany Griner, we are BG.
So, this is a slow sports day. Yesterday at the ESPYs, there was a moment where Steph Curry was, I guess, handing out an award to the WNBA for being like the most humanitarian league, which I guess is a category. And he was up there with Los Angeles Sparks of the WNBA forward,
Neka Ogumike. She's a Houston native. Shout out.
Thank you very much getting the pronunciation of that. I did not know that. And Phoenix guard Skylar Diggins-Smith. So they're all up on stage. And after talking about the award to the WNBA, they went on a fairly long diatribe about Brittany Griner. Here is how it ended.
But as we hope for the best, we urge the entire global sports community to continue to stay energized on her behalf. Because Brittany isn't just on the Phoenix Mercury. She isn't just a member of her team in Russia. She isn't just an Olympian. She's one of us, the team of athletes in this room tonight and all over the world. A team that has nothing to do with politics or global conflict.
The more we say her name, the louder our voices will be.
The more we see her face, the closer we'll feel to her and her to us.
We cannot stop fighting for her. We cannot stop believing for her.
This is dramatic.
And we will not stop hoping for the day when we can welcome her home safely.
We are BG.
I mean, it's the most insufferable thing I've heard in quite some time.
Let me just say, I do think that it was a nice, their attempt was nice, and I definitely support efforts to get her home.
But
what are they doing?
What are they doing? This is like every single actor alive saying, we got to do something. Like the Russell Brand's character
like
and forgetting Sarah Marshall.
It's like the COVID Imagine.
Yes,
video.
It's the same thing. Like, okay, you're speaking out on this. We athletes need to to stand together. Well, I don't know. How about Paul Whelan, the Marine who's been there since 2018? You're just going to speak up for Brittany Griner? Why? Because she's an athlete? She's better? Like, the way that they talked about it, we are athletes. We need to stick together and use our platform. And okay, cool. You can use your platform. But I doubt that the Russians give the slightest bleep. They don't care. They don't care at all. Say her name? What is this? Are we talking about George Floyd and Breonna Taylor? Like, this is someone who went to Russia with weed in her suitcase and was, as one of them said, legally detained. In Russia, it is illegal to carry that stuff in. I didn't make the laws there, but that's what happens when you go to a former communist country that's run by a bleeping dictator like Vladimir Putin. See her face? What is that going to do? Oh, we see pictures of her while she's in a Russian prison. What does that accomplish? If we see her face, we'll remember. That makes no sense. None. We'll be outraged seeing her behind bars. What are you fighting for? Are you fighting this feeling or something like that? To go back to REO Speedwagon at the beginning of the segment?
I think you can have empathy for Brittany Griner.
Yes, you can.
And her situation, while also acknowledging that there are gray areas and it is tricky because there are members of the U.S. military that have been there longer. She did technically break a law. It is a very complicated situation. It's not black and white.
You're right, but there are a lot of people last night, and Megan Rapinoe was one of the other ones too. They're up there, and I don't know, like, are they doing this for the gram? Like AOC pretending to have her hands handcuffed behind her back or something like that?
Sean, we have Tucker Carlson with us here today in studio.
What is happening? No, to circle back to it, it's everyone seemed to want to make, like, some sort of grand political statement at the ESPYs for the gram. And it's just more of one of the reasons that the average person thinks that award shows on TV about, like, for TV or for movies or for athletes, it just is another example of how, like, I have no connection with this person. This person lives in a totally different world. They're up here to essentially be seen, essentially taking a stand. And they're not. They're just saying, like, it would be great if Brittany Griner came home, which, by the way, I agree with. I don't want any American to be suffering in a Russian prison. I don't. But I don't know. It just feels like we're athletes and she should be back. No, that's not how it should work. It should be everybody who was over there should be back. And it's not that easy. The way that you guys are talking about it makes it seem like if you guys just talk, the Russians are going to all of a sudden be like, yeah, you know what? We did want to have our arms dealer Oleg Kasbluski or something like that. We did want him back, but you know what? Now that the athletes have spoken up, no, we don't want to do a prisoner exchange. We're just going to give Brittany Griner back. That's going to happen.
I think they want to keep the awareness out in the media. I think they want to keep the awareness of her situation and how dangerous it potentially could be. I do know that Joe Biden and Kamala Harris had talked to her wife. So obviously, you know, thinking and praying for everybody that's detained in a Russia prison that's an American, because that's a very intense situation.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, I understand you are not a fan of politics in sports.
I mean, it's not even politics
and
sports.
It's politics and sports.
It's more
the definition of politics and sports.
I think it's more these guys are tone deaf, and I'm sorry. Stop making it seem like Brittany Griner is suffering some horrible crime against her.
No, she isn't scared. It's scary. She's in a
Russian
prison. It's
scary, but I mean, it's accountability for her own actions. And
she had weed, Paul.
It's Russia. It's not the United States.
She made a mistake.
Right.
People make mistakes.
And that's how Russia handles
it. It is a very, very complicated situation. We've agreed on that. And there are other people that have been over there longer, like U.S. service members. It's not as black and white as some people say.
You could have,
but you can have empathy for her.
Yes, I can.
And still admit that it's a complicated situation.
It's a complicated situation, and it could be, like, say she was in Singapore or in Malaysia or something like that. I mean, she might be put to death for having weed. Like, it's different in other countries. You got to know it. And again, I feel bad for her, but it's her own mistake. And these athletes are acting like there's this grave crime being done against her. Like, I guess I feel like there are worse things going on than that. I don't know.
All right, coming up on Vanessa and Gallant, we are going to discuss who doesn't love a good Madden ratings. It's been the lead story on ESPN. Plus, our world famous gambling segment. First, PG is going to tell you about BIN.
The Passive Investor Network. Yeah, I don't know. Guess what? Don't do that. The Passive Investor Network, people. PassiveInvestor.net. Promo code ESPN. That's how you get on one of their famous bus tours, and you'll get to see what they do. They're a real estate investment team that works with you and personalizes a plan with you, sits down with you to help you and your family make real money down the road. PassiveInvestor.net is where you go to sign up for that bus tour. And they're going to take you around town. These guys are great. They scout around the entire city of Houston. They look for parts of town that they think are on the rise. And you got guys like Ronnie, who works on the construction side of it, who's been doing it for 25 years. And you see just how awesome they are at flipping these houses. I mean, you actually even get to see some of the places that you invest in. There's an app where you can track the progress of everything. PassiveInvestor.net is the website, again, to go on one of their bus tours to learn more. Promo code ESPN. It's the Passive Investor Network.
ESPN 97.5. Welcome back to Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
Do you ever see a number that makes you want to vomit? Because the Cardinals are giving, per Adam Schefter, Kyler Murray a five-year, $230.5 million deal that includes $160 million guaranteed. He's now the second highest paid quarterback with an average of $46.1 million a year.
Okay, Cardinals.
Good luck.
Get ready for the Joe Burrow extension.
Yeah, that's a great point.
I mean, Burrow's been to a Super Bowl, right? What's interesting about this is that this is probably the earliest we've seen a quarterback get an extension, right? I mean, how many seasons has Murray been in the NFL? This is going to be his fourth, right? So you're on a five-year rookie deal, and he's getting it now. Lamar Jackson still hasn't gotten his. Lamar Jackson's won an MVP. Kyler Murray has, what, been to the playoffs, played poorly in the playoffs.
I mean, absolutely pooped the bed the last playoffs would be an accurate description.
I
know this is how it works because we talked about this at the break. I get that. It's always crazy to me.
It's one contract is followed up by a bigger contract. That's how it works with every position.
And at the end of the day, if you're the team, you're looking around the room like, well, if we don't sign him, like, then what? Like, then we're going to have Davis Mills as our quarterback.
Right,
you know,
right.
Like, it becomes the, like, oh, then we'll have to throw our hat in the Jimmy G ring and hope we get another number one pick.
They didn't have to do this, period. They didn't have to. There was no impetus for them to do this other than, what, Murray sitting out or something?
Now, I wonder how much, because we mentioned earlier about we're surprised that Cliff Kingsbury still has his job and
Steve Keim, the general manager.
Still has their job. Maybe it's a move out of desperation on their end of, hey, we need to have Kyler Murray like locked in, ready to go. And then if it doesn't work out, guess what? We're getting fired anyway.
Would you guys expect Kyler Murray, though, to be now locked in and ready to go based off of what you saw from him at the end of last year?
I think he's
going to
keep playing video games. And
based off the last year, he's going to be out of the league in 2 years.
Right, yeah. I mean,
I think he's baseball better than time. That.
It's absurd. But you know what? When the deal was done with Deshaun Watson, the number one thing that the national media said was that Steve Bisciotti, Ravens owner, that all these, you know, the Browns with Joe Burrow, they were all cussing out the Haslams because this meant so much more money is going to have to be given to any quarterback, superstar quarterback, that has a new contract. All right, it's time for our gambling segment. We are, of course, your consummate gambling experts, I say with a total serious look on my face. It's been all quiet.
The under, the over.
On the Kevin Durant front.
Yes, it has.
Where does he end up if he is traded from the Nets? Here are the odds, so they say. Plus 225 to Miami, plus 275 to Toronto. Plus 500 to Phoenix.
That's not happening because the only way that could have happened is if DeAndre Ayton was
the Pacers,
tradable.
Yeah.
And since the Suns just gave him that extension, they can't trade him until, I believe, January 15th. So that one's got to be off the board. But, yeah, then it's Memphis and New Orleans. And Golden State at plus 900, Vanessa, that's the one. The 9-1 odds of him going back to Golden State. Now, I don't know how it would actually happen, and I feel like the logistics of creating a trade like that are difficult. We did hear from Brian Windhorst of ESPN when it comes to the Kevin Durant situation. Yeah, not quite as dramatic as the time where he was setting everything up for the eventual Rudy Gobert trade to the Minnesota Timberwolves, but here is Brian Windhorst on where Kevin Durant's situation stands right now.
What I will say is that nobody knows what Kevin Durant is thinking right now. His communication with teammates and others in the league has been sparse. I don't even think that the Nets, Greeny, have a 100% understanding of why Kevin asked for a trade. He spoke to the owner in Joe Tsai and gave a reason, but I'm not sure the Nets are 100% on the understanding of it. So I think really the next step in this, barring a team's change of heart to meet the Nets' price, which I don't see at this point on the calendar, I think we're going to have to wait to hear from Kevin Durant about how open he is to running it back with the Nets.
I mean, I'd also ask the Nets, like, why would you trade him? Again, you did everything to make this happen. You've had a weird pandemic and a, I think, over-the-top law in place in New York that prevented non-vaccinated players from playing, even though if you were a non-vaccinated player from another team, you could play, that kept Irving from playing all last year. When Irving is healthy and engaged, he is still, I think, a damn good player. I don't know if we can still say that with James Harden, with Ben Simmons. Brooklyn should try to make this work, and I feel like both Durant and Irving are kind of realizing, well, yeah, we didn't really have any alternatives here. This was the only way that we could do it.
The Madden ratings are out, and people are not happy, particularly the Cincinnati Bengals. They constantly rated lower than a lot of people think that they should have as the reigning AFC champs. One of those people is former Texan DJ Reader, who tweeted, and I quote, "Hey, at EA Madden NFL, F you." Now, the two letters in that word had little stars in them, so he didn't exactly spell it out. But we get the gist of it. Jamar Chase had said something along the lines as well, because he wasn't one of the top three wide receivers on that list. So Bengals fans not happy.
The people that make ratings for Madden take themselves very seriously. And this is something that EA and ESPN have sort of hyped them up in these puff pieces that you've seen written generally annually about them, to make it seem like these guys really know what they're doing, but they don't. They've never been very good at it. I mean, you know, go back to Madden 2001. Tom Brady was quarterback number 12 in that game. Quarterback number 12, the year that he became Tom Brady. Quarterback number 12. They didn't even name him by name. Things have, I think, from a, hey, look, technological standpoint, things have gotten a little bit better with Madden, but Madden has been a half-ass game for years and years and years. I don't have any outrage about the ratings. I have an outrage about the fact that EA Sports bought an exclusive
EA Sports.
It's in the game license with the NFL so that no one else can create a football video game. And what's funny is the last time, Vanessa, that there was a competitor to Madden, they were releasing it for $20. It was NFL 2K5, and some would argue it's the best football video game ever. It's a damn good game.
Never played it, but I've heard it's great.
It was really good. Ever since Madden has not had competition, the game has steadily decreased in actual improvements year to year, and it became a microtransaction machine for your kid to essentially run up your credit card bill buying all sorts of stupid stuff. It has become that.
Like, so it's really gone downhill.
It has. Yeah. They have not put the same effort into it that they had in years past. It used to be a very carefully crafted game. Now they release features that were in the game in 2008 and 2009 and are like, new features for Madden. And somehow the physics are worse than they were 15 years ago in the actual video game itself. So, I think there's plenty of things to be mad about if you're a player in Madden and you don't like the rating that they gave it to you. But I think more people should be just outraged about what a crap game the game's been for a long time.
Speaking of games, Quidditch is making a Swidditch.
Nice, dude.
Thank you. The real-life sport inspired by the Harry Potter series has changed its name to Quadball. They say it's in an effort to distance the game from author J.K. Rowling's, quote, anti-trans positions. Just to catch everybody up real quick, J.K. Rowling wrote Harry Potter, and she's tweeted some things
canceled.
that folks say are anti-against trans folks.
Right. I mean, she's a half a billion dollar enterprise herself, J.K. Rowling, because of what she made with Harry Potter. But she makes a couple of comments, and the next thing you know, yeah, no one wants anything to do with her. What's funny about this, and sorry to sound super...
Tucker Carlson is back, ladies and gentlemen.
A bunch of people have been texting like, Paul, right? Wig propagandist, whatever. I'm just going to say this story right here is interesting, because what actually happened is that Warner Brothers spoke to the actual National Quidditch Association or whatever the hell it is, and they said, like, yeah, you can't use our name anymore. This is basically about...
Warner Brothers, yeah.
It's about copyright infringement, and I think that Quidditch is like, well, how do we stay in the news but also get people angry? Because that's the way to stay in the news, and that's why they brought up J.K. Rowling.
The league says it prides itself on being one of the most progressive sports in the world on gender equality and inclusivity, etc.
It's like, we don't want to get sued, though. That's the real reason they're doing this. And then that maybe is the secondary reason, but it's not anywhere close to the first reason. Warner Brothers could sue the hell out of anyone.
Shout out to J.J. Watt. Nice guy. He was great in Houston, raised all the money for Hurricane Harvey, and continues to do great things in Arizona. There's a woman that tweeted, I have a pair of J.J. Watt women's edition Reebok shoes, size 9, $60. I've worn them twice. They're great shoes. Nice. I'm only selling because we're raising money for my grandpa's funeral. I also have a Watt women's XL Texans jersey, $30. Anyone interested? J.J. Watt sees this, quote tweets that says, don't sell your shoes and jersey. Will help with the funeral. I'm sorry for your loss. I know people have railed J.J. Watt for being the cheesy, corny guy, but things like this are just really good.
He's a good dude. Russell Wilson, too. You know, I make fun of him for being corny. Russell Wilson is a good guy. He's just annoying. With J.J. Watt, every single time he does something like this, especially when it's something that takes place here, it makes you feel good and it makes you miss him. I know. I wish they'd found a way to keep him, because at the very least, all right, well, at least you have J.J. Watt here. You have J.J. Watt playing here for a lifetime. But he was like, yeah, I'm done here. Also,
cannot blame him.
A rare situation, Vanessa, where tagging somebody on Twitter has been a good thing. You know,
she did tag him. Yeah. And I don't think meaning to get his attention.
I got to say, though, why not? First off, second off, I mean, it's not for, like, it was for a bad cause. I think a lot of people like to tag people on Twitter because, oh, did you see what was said about you? You get tattled on Twitter. I know this happens for us in sports media a lot.
And I noticed a lot, and not to single out, but I mean, like, the SportsCenter account and like the Fox Sports account tag whenever there's like a hot take about someone, they'll tag that athlete in the hot take of Stephen A. Smith ripping them as like just the most naked attempt to try to get engagement. It's so stupid.
Yeah, it's dumb.
Have some pride, people.
But this was good.
Coming up on Vanessa and Gallant, there's a certain celebrity whose ring count matches with another institution. You'll see what I mean. I didn't explain it very well. Also, we're talking about the XFL. That's coming up next. But first, I tell you about TGS. If you own your home, stop what you're doing and listen to me. I know you pay too much for your home insurance, but it's a hassle to get new home insurance. It no longer has to be. Thanks to our friends at TGS. They've built a new system and it instantly shops over 3 dozen carriers, and all you have to do is send a text. Super easy. So take your phone out, text the word money, M-O-N-E-Y, to 232323. Their system asks you for your home address, you send it back, and within 15 seconds you have your quotes. It's a legit company. The online rating is nearly perfect. And guess what? Their average customer from last year is saving around $870. So again, I know it's a hassle to shop for home insurance. It's obnoxious. But it doesn't have to be, thanks to TGS. One more time, money. Text it to 232323. Get your home insurance quote and save big today.
Warning, warning. You're listening to ESPN 97.5. Breaking down the Houston sports scene with V and Pauly G on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
All right, we are rolling along on a Thursday. I hate when people get fined for stupid stuff.
Oh?
The NBA has fined Golden State Warriors owner Joe Lacob $500,000 for his recent comments on the Point Forward podcast discussing the league's collective bargaining talks, which included Lacob Lacob? Describing the league's luxury tax system as, quote, very unfair. Here's why I hate this. Owners don't open up often. They don't go on podcasts. They don't go on radio shows. They rarely even allow the national media to interview them. So when they give their opinion about something, they call the luxury tax system unfair, they get fined $500,000, which is probably the equivalent of like $3 for a billionaire. But still, obnoxious, weak sauce by the NBA.
Yeah, not good. And, I mean, that's just the way that things go.
Dumb on... Right? Great radio analysis. That's just the way that things go. Thank you for that, Paul.
Isn't it, though?
For anyone to get suspended $500,000, an owner's a pretty good choice.
Owner is a good choice.
Especially after you just got done paying like $500 million for an NBA team.
All right. What else do we have? We're talking about the XFL on Sunday coming up. They're going to announce the cities and stadiums for XFL. What would this version be? 3.0, 4.0. The Houston Roughnecks should get a team, and they should play at TDECU Stadium again. They were undefeated. They were the best team in Houston when COVID shut them down.
Yes, they were. And, I mean, it doesn't sound like it's a definitive thing that they're going to come back, right?
No, and I want them to.
It felt... Here's the thing that sucks for all of those XFL teams. Can you actually recapture what seemed to be a very, very fun time here with that if they were to come back? Are people going to...
Get PJ... who was it? PJ Walker? Mm-hmm. Get PJ Walker back under center. He was awesome.
That could help, I guess. I think the big question is it's been now, what, 2 years? It's been an entire pandemic since then. And the Texans are awful, so I guess, hey, look, there's an alternative to football. But you got to have the games in stadium. You have to allow lots of drinking. And that's the only way that one of these spring leagues is even potentially going to work. What the USFL has potentially done, unfortunately, for Houston's chances of getting an XFL team and maybe being able to recreate the Roughnecks is that they gave Houston the Gamblers. But they played all of the games in Birmingham. So I feel like they might be on the outside looking in when it comes to getting a semi-pro team here.
Jimbo Fisher's talking to the media right now, said something interesting that popped up on my timeline, said that he'd prefer to preserve the Texas and LSU rivalries in an SEC schedule model with three permanent opponents, calling those rivalries quote-unquote important. He adds that Mississippi State is the third school that has been talked about as a permanent foe for A&M. Do we like that?
Permanent foe?
Permanent foe, yeah. Because with the new model, they want to make a permanent rivalry opponents,
and,
right?
And how does it work,
so
though?
All 16 teams could actually play each other in conference play. You would have to have, instead of having divisions, each team would just have three teams that they play every year, and they would rotate the other, six conference opponents.
And
they would rotate that year by year, just so, I mean, because Texas A&M and Georgia still have never played an SEC game.
Okay.
And it's been over a decade.
And I'm assuming, so this is where it gets tricky, because you, as you said, like, that was my understanding too, is that, all right, you have three teams that you are locked into playing every single year, but is there what, like a little small, like, quarter division? Are you going to have like a...
The teams with the two best records would then play each other in the SEC title game.
Okay. And
I don't hate that model. I
like that a lot.
Yeah.
The,
I think
the rivalries.
Or the Pac-12 is doing that this year.
Rest in peace to the Pac-12, yeah. Man.
One last R.I.P. hurrah, I guess.
R.I.P. Well, it keeps the rivalries in
thoughts
place.
Thoughts and prayers.
But you also, I mean, let's be honest, like the last, decade now, until Georgia has resurfaced as this, you know, power on the same level as Alabama, it's been like the SEC West is so much better than the SEC East.
Yeah, there's like one good SEC East team per year, basically.
Generally,
it's either
right.
Georgia or Florida.
Pretty much, yeah.
That's how that works out.
Not San on Twitter said that Mark Berman did confirm the XFL is coming to Houston and Wade Phillips is going to be the coach. I forgot about that, too. Yeah, we had done a segment on that. So shout out to the Houston Roughnecks.
I don't know why Berman I thought that might not happen, though. You know, it is weird, like, to have the Gamblers and the Roughnecks at the same time.
But the Gamblers aren't even here.
I was going to say, something tells me we won't have to worry about the Gamblers for too long, considering how much coverage the USFL got while I was playing.
Yeah, that's true.
They were literally national broadcasts with Jason Garrett and, like, Jack Collinsworth, and I didn't even know they were going on.
Can you name, like, a single thing that, other than Jack Collinsworth was involved, a single thing that happened at USFL?
Kevin,
I compare that to the XFL that we still remember from 2 years
right.
ago.
Yes, there are two teams that were 1-6, the Michigan Panthers
so
and the Houston Gamblers, and of those two teams, only the Houston Gamblers were eliminated from the playoffs at that point in time. So the Gamblers were eliminated from playoff contention while another 1-6 team was still active. So there you go.
There you go. All right, it is time for our Garbage Time segment.
Oh, I love trash.
Garbage Time.
It's garbage.
Starts now.
I'm the trash man.
This is garbage.
All right, Jennifer Lopez got married for the fourth time. Third time, I think. No, I think it was the fourth.
Is it the fourth? I think that she got married to Mark Anthony once.
No.
I don't know if she...
You're missing. She got married to Ojani Noah in 1997, Chris Judd in 2001, Mark Anthony in 2004, Ben Affleck in 2022.
So this tweet was wrong.
So she's been engaged another two times. That's why people say that she has six rings.
Oh.
Yeah.
But she wasn't married those times. Gotcha.
She was married four times. She has been married four times.
She's been engaged two other times.
Two other times.
So
she has six.
Six.
She was engaged to Alex Rodriguez but didn't marry him.
Mm.
And then was engaged to someone else.
Someone else,
them,
probably
yeah.
earlier.
So she's been to 6 Super Bowls, and she's won 4 of them.
Correct.
Yes. Yeah.
If we're going to make the, yeah. the Super Bowl ring comparison.
There's no Tom Brady.
Do you keep all the rings when that happens?
I don't know. I mean, she doesn't need the money.
Are you supposed to keep engagement rings, or are you supposed to
Good
give them
question.
Back?
Good question. Good question. I don't know.
I think it depends.
I've kept
on who breaks
every
it up,
gift that a guy has gotten me, but I've never gotten like, but I've never been engaged. So like, you know, I've kept jewelry or whatnot, but I've never engagement rings can be expensive. I feel like you give it back.
I feel like, and maybe this is out of school, but if you're the one that breaks it up, I feel like I would want to give it back as like
I would want to get it back. That's for damn sure.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm cheap though.
Yeah, if you're the guy and you break it off, that's your fault, bud.
That's true.
Yeah, you had to eat it. But if you're right. the one, if you're the, you know, I
the
mean,
breaker.
I don't want to be heteronormative, but if you're the ooh, woman ooh. That gets the ring
Nate.
And you break it off,
yeah.
I feel like you would be compelled to give it back.
Is that a real word?
Heteronormative?
It is a like, very real word.
If you're okay. the man, yeah, if you're...
No.
Anyway, so there's a stat that every time she's gotten married this millennium, which would be true because the other two marriages were in the 90s.
So I honestly yes okay that makes sense.
So you're the one that put that on
okay.
put this on there,
right? I saw a tweet and I did not see the part that the part that said this millennium.
Yeah.
I sort of ignored it. But every time that Jennifer Lopez has been married this millennium, which I did write down, Texas had an 11 win season that same year. So guys, 2001, 2004,
we're back.
Texas is back.
Gotta
she needs
it.
To get married more often.
She should. This monkeypox thing, I'm not going to lie, I didn't actually believe that it was real, but it appears that it is. According to KHOU, yeah. Galveston County is monitoring an out-of-state individual who may have had contracted monkeypox.
Yep.
Health officials are working to identify who may have been exposed to this individual.
Someone tweeted out, I think this was like the CDC, maybe it was... The Babylon Bee. I don't even know anymore, but it was a graphic of how to have sex if you have monkeypox.
Can you...
One of them was take yourself to Happy Town 6 feet away from your partner.
Can you...
Dog.
...die from monkeypox?
I don't know.
It just looks like a hand.
Here's
disease.
A helpful part of the KHOU thing. Is monkeypox deadly?
There you go.
Over 99% of people who get this form of disease are likely to survive.
There
However,
you
people
go.
With weakened immune systems, kids under 8.
But it sounds like, scary.
Shout out to monkeypox for not being deadly.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
It's very, very kind of monkeypox.
Dave Chappelle's stand-up show was canceled over one of his many transgender jokes controversy. So I love Dave Chappelle. If you follow this, you know this has appeared in his Netflix specials where... The trans community has been very upset with him for certain jokes that he's made. The First Avenue venue in Minnesota apologized for booking him and said the show would move to another theater.
Here's what's messed up, though. They did it last second, and they moved it to another theater that's like 40-minute walk away. And I don't know when it was announced that they had canceled the date, but they did it like within, I think, hours of the actual
that's
performance
not cool.
about to happen. Yeah, if you're going to cancel it, like okay, that's your right to cancel it, but I don't know. Maybe don't be jackasses about it and cancel it a couple of days or weeks in advance. Like, I imagine some people probably didn't even check their email.
No, they were out to dinner. They chose a dinner venue close to the... Yeah.
And then all of a sudden they find out, like, oh, it's been canceled?
Yeah.
What? And it's somewhere else? This is weird.
Speaking of canceled, it's been fun hosting with Tucker Carlson today.
Wow.
All right, that's been another episode of Vanessa and Gallant.
Bullied so much
for
today.
For Paul Gallant and Sean Mapes, I'm Vanessa
Richardson.
I'm going
to go back
you
to Seattle.
The Killer Bees coming up next. And yes, Paul will be in Seattle this week, and we welcome Josh Beard in tomorrow. Talk to you soon, guys.
Peace.
What defines Ohio? A place that dares to go first and never looks back. There's no slowing us down. In Ohio, we're powering America, discovering breakthroughs, driving the future, propelling tomorrow. At Jobs Ohio, our mission is clear: strengthen job opportunities and empower Ohio's workforce. Ohio, our time is now. See Ohio's momentum at jobsohio.com/Ohio's time.
Are you a questioner, a wanderer, or even a bit of a snooper? If so, then you'll feel right at home in Knoxville. We've got miles of trails to wander in our urban wilderness. award-winning eateries to satisfy your culinary cravings, cultural sites to open your mind, and dog-friendly activities that'll have everyone wagging. Knoxville, calling the curious. Learn more at visitknoxville.com.
Spring is sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save big.